Welcome to the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. As we go to air this morning, we're following a story out of Washington, D.C., where the U.S. Supreme Court has issued a ruling that means hundreds of thousands of young immigrants cannot be deported, at least for the time being. The court blocked a move by the Trump administration to rescind the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals, or DACA, program, which provides temporary legal status for immigrants who came or were brought to the U.S. as children. The Illinois Coalition for Immigrant and Refugee Rights says there are 42,000 such people in Illinois. Our senior U.S. Senator Dick Durbin has been active on the issue and spoke about it this morning in the Capitol. He says tens of thousands of DACA recipients are also healthcare workers.
So if you're a patient at a clinic or a hospital today fighting COVID-19 and your doctor or nurse just walked in the room with a big smile, it's because the Supreme Court said to that healthcare worker, that healthcare hero, you can stay in America. We need you.
We'll continue to follow this story and plan to bring you a full conversation early next week. Tomorrow, though, June 19th, marks 155 years since Union General Granger arrived in Texas to read federal orders to the city of Galveston announcing that all enslaved persons in the state of Texas were free. This Juneteenth, though, falls at a moment in American history when conversations about racism and white supremacy sparked by the killing of George Floyd are at the forefront. We want to know how you will be commemorating Juneteenth and if the protests or national conversations we're having about race now have made this Juneteenth different for you. You can join our conversation today by giving us a call at 800-222-9455. That's 800-222-9455. You can also tweet us at 21st Show. That's at 21st Show. For now, I'd like to welcome our guests. Professor Courtney Joseph Pierre teaches history and African American studies at Lake Forest College, and Chip Moody is the manager of new media and community partnerships at the DuSable Museum of African American History in Chicago. Both of you, welcome to the 21st. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a pleasure to be here.
So, Professor Joseph, I want to begin with you. Can you tell us about the origins of Juneteenth and why Juneteenth is when it is and the significance of that day?
Absolutely. I think it's interesting to think about the Civil War as and freedom to the enslaved population at that time of African Americans as being a kind of step-to-step process. And so typically often people think of, oh, Emancipation Proclamation, all the slaves are free, right? No, despite, Lincoln's proclamation in January 1863, we don't see that, you know, enslaved people are suddenly free because it really couldn't be implemented in the places that were still under Confederate control. And in addition, couldn't be implemented to the Union states that still had slaves, including Delaware, Kentucky, and several others. So we then see the surrender finally, the Civil War is over, 1865, and one would think, okay, now it's over, right? And now all of the enslaved people now are free again.
This is April, right? What Appomattox is April, I think?
Yes, April, yeah. 1865. And so, you know, General Lee surrenders, it seems like it's over, and yet again, it's not quite that, you know, all African Americans are suddenly free, because you have to think about how they're being told the information. And you might imagine that former slave owners don't really want to share that information with the people that they deemed as property. They're not really interested in seeing that freedom happen. So it takes until January 19th, 1865, when about 2,000 Union troops, you know, drive in Galveston Bay, Texas, and they see, you know, people still working, under slave labor. And they then announce, as you mentioned, that famous order number 3 that then says, okay, no, you may not have gotten word, but slavery has been abolished. And so that's where you get the origins of Juneteenth. But even then, it's still not a perfect story to freedom after that.
Sure, of course not. And I mean, we're still seeing the ramifications of that imperfect story to freedom today, I think. Chip, I want to bring you into the conversation. I wonder if you can talk a little bit about what Juneteenth means to you.
Well, Juneteenth is as a civilian and not one who has always been very well acquainted with history was something I learned about late in high school and closer to my college years, where having a conversation with my grandparents, where we're talking about things that they knew and getting this intergenerational conversation going, whereas why certain dates are important and what their understanding of freedom was coming from the time period that they came from. So for me, learning about Juneteenth was one, encouraging, because just personally as an African American, you understand that we have a very specific history. And when we talk about the 4th of July, sort of America's institution, we know that at that genesis, African Americans were not considered to be a part of that. Mm-hmm. And so as we move forward in history from that point, it creates something, at least inside of me, where it really made me question the things that I was seeing, learning, and hearing about. So we talk about freedom. We understand that America, culturally, in quotes, is free. But if my ancestors and, you know, my relatives at that time were not free, then what are we really talking about at that point? So Juneteenth is always a moment for reflection for me on the country that we live in, where we've come from, and how much further we have to go.
And Chip, you work at the DuSable Museum in Chicago. Can you talk a little bit about how the museum has commemorated Juneteenth in the past and what's happening this year, given that I presume the pandemic restrictions are still, not allowing people to come in the museum, unless I'm mistaken about that.
No, you yeah. are correct. Most of Chicago is not open to the public as far as places that have large capacities, if you will. And so we're no different. We're following the protocol and going with the recommendations from the city. But we've been fighting to produce a lot more content in the online space and in the virtual space, where many people have gone now because of the restrictions that have been placed on the city. And so what we have going on this Juneteenth is actually a webcast where we are talking about what reparations are, what an earnest apology to the African American community could look like. And that discussion is happening with a number of judges and some professors from Chicago to really give a perspective on how these things could happen, what they would look like, and the historical significance of that conversation. Because at least as I very generally understand it, the 40 acres and a mule have not been passed out to anyone, at least not that I know.
Mm-hmm. So if you're just joining us, this is the 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. We're speaking about the origins of Juneteenth and recent calls to make it a federal holiday. We're speaking with Chip Moody, manager of new media and community partnerships at the DuSable Museum in Chicago, and Courtney Pierre-Joseph, a professor of history and African American studies at Lake Forest College. And Professor Joseph, I want to ask you, a few minutes ago, we heard Chip say that it was pretty late in high school, I think, when he learned about Juneteenth. And this year we're seeing some companies starting to offer a paid day off, and some places already recognizes it as a state holiday, like Texas, I think, gives state employees time off. I wonder, Professor, do you think we're any closer this year to making Juneteenth a federal holiday? And do you think it should be?
Great questions. I think that what we're seeing right now is some momentum towards recognition for what people have been asking for and talking about for decades into centuries, right? When it comes to acknowledging African-American history as American history, not a side thing that you learn about for 1 month or a side thing that is an addition to a textbook or a paragraph in a textbook. Or that it's a state-to-state holiday. It's actually in 47 out of 50 states have it designated as a holiday right now in some capacity. I think we're seeing a push for that potentially to happen. And again, this has been in the works for some time. If you think about representatives in Texas, including Sheila Jackson Lee, who's been introducing resolution to recognize Juneteenth annually. And so potentially because of this moment of reckoning with, I think, that we're at as a country when it comes to race, and not just being able to say that it's past anymore, seeing it and seeing more people kind of agree with that, potentially we could see Juneteenth as a national holiday. At the same time, I think it's important for us to think about how difficult it is to get a federal holiday, especially when you're talking about for African Americans. And so it's really important to note that it took Coretta Scott King over 20 years to finally get Martin Luther King Jr. Day as a federal holiday. And that's our only holiday as a nation that commemorates a African American person. We have all sorts of other holidays, which I won't get into now, but it, you know, it could be that finally have the mobilization and the support to see it through. But we should also consider how long these things are in the works and that they're not instant.
You know, I'm so glad you brought up Martin Luther King Day, because I was wondering about this, and I wonder if you have thoughts on what it says about America. And I'll maybe the correct way to say this is, you know, the white majority who has set the holidays in the past, what it says about our relationship to history, and particularly the history of enslaved African Americans, that, you know, Martin Luther King Day is a holiday, you know, recognized federally, schools close, banks close, that sort of thing, and Juneteenth is not. Do you have any thoughts on that?
I mean, this all shows kind of the legacies of enslavement, right? Like, we still very much live as a nation with the unresolved issues around chattel slavery and what they mean. And you can see this in so many different fields, but I think education is one that is really important. You're probably gonna tell my bias here, I'm an educator, so that's why I find it so important, right? But back to Chip's point about not learning about Juneteenth until high school. I have the experience with many of the students who find themselves in a college classroom with me, having that be the first time they've ever heard not only of Juneteenth, but of all sorts of things that have to do with African-American history. And it's not an accident that that happens that way. And so I think it's difficult for all students, no matter their racial background, to suddenly, if at all, learn this real history later in life. And in particular for Black students, how can they be excited about history? How can they have patriotism? How can they really do anything if they don't see themselves reflected in the nation's history that they live in?
And Chip, I wonder, you're in Chicago, which is a city that has for decades now recognized an obscure Polish figure from American history named Kazimierz Pulaski with a holiday, but not, you know, Juneteenth has been, you know, something that's more sort of recently as a city holiday, I think. And it was just debated in the city council this week, as I understand it. I mean, I wonder if you have thoughts on that.
Yes, I do. And you're exactly right. And just to drive home the professor's point a little further, I found out about Juneteenth not at school. It was from conversations with the older generation in my family, which then sparked me to go do some learning on my own, as I was surprised that there would be such a significant date and time in our history that relates to Americans that I would just be completely ignorant about at that time. And you're right, we do celebrate Pulaski Day in Chicago. And I think that the culture of Chicago is growing. And so we are now starting to learn more about more of history and more people who are engaged in the historic narrative. And so now people like Jean-Baptiste Pointe du Sable are coming into the conversation as we learn about people who existed outside of, we'll just say, the general historic narrative.
Yeah, and DeSable, of course, an early settler who was, you know, showed that Chicago was a multicultural, multiracial city even before it was a city. Professor
That's right.
Professor Joseph, we have just less than a minute.
descent, I always have to say it for my Haitian pride, and a man of Haitian descent. So it's important to think about that too.
Thank you for mentioning that. We unfortunately only have about 30 seconds left. And Professor Joseph, I just want to end with you just briefly. You know, this Juneteenth falls when we're having these, you know, conversations about racism, white people reflecting on their privilege. I wonder if it feels different this year to you because of the moment we're in.
I would definitely say so. I was commenting to a friend of mine that I would never have imagined even 6 months ago that I would be getting corporate emails with a banner that says Black Lives Matter on it. And so that is wonderful and that is progress. But I think what we all need to remember is that we have these moments of progress and they don't lead to real, tangible, sustained change for Black people's lives on the ground level. And so while it's wonderful, and I hope we do get a holiday to celebrate Juneteenth, it's also important for us to then use that time to say, well, how can we give the descendants of these people the full rights that they've been asking for since Juneteenth, the first one?
Professor Courtney Pierre Joseph teaches history and African American studies at Lake Forest College. We've also been speaking with Chip Moody, manager of new media and community partnerships at the DuSable Museum in Chicago. Thank you both for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
More to come after a short break. This is The 21st. Stay with us.